Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3. The game, good Tuesday to you. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Nick Frazier, a.k.a. Dr. Crane, behind the glass. Nick Heiser hanging out, too. The Nick and Nick Show, behind the glass. How about that? What's up, JoJo?
It's been good watching the last two evening football games because they've gone down to the wire. They've been fantastic.
Yeah, they were. And we had... You know, last night, the Jags and the Bengals, C.J. Beathard, BGA legend, Nashville's very own, comes in after Trevor Lawrence, what's being reported, a sprained ankle, leaves the game. Yeah, it did look bad. But C.J. Beathard comes in. Unfortunately, they come up just a little bit short. The Bengals get the win with Browning as the quarterback.
Who got himself a job last night.
Yes, he did. It's crazy to me, Joe, to think about you know, the starting quarterbacks that in the National Football League this year and how many are hurt or started the year, got hurt, like Tannehill lost his job when he got hurt, basically.
Poor guy. I know. But it's been, you know, there's been years where quarterbacks have gone down like this, but it's just tough to make it through 17 games. I mean, it really is because you're getting hit. So that's why the onus on to protect quarterbacks has been for, gosh, the last 10, 15, 20 years and all that. So. But that's why you get a good backup. I mean, Minshew on Sunday versus the Titans, and you look at what, Browning last night did such a great job for the Bengals and everything else, you know, and then some people were like, you know, that's why you sit a quarterback because Jordan Love is finally getting it now for the Packers after sitting behind Rodgers for a few years. So it is the most important position in all of sports, and please don't argue about that because you will be wrong.
And Jordan Love's getting it for sure, but I mean – are we still ready to anoint him as the franchise quarterback?
Absolutely we are. And I'm not a Packers fan either.
I'm sure Robbie's going to text me in just a second.
Well, he can, but who else? He's the last two games he's looked – and he's had spurts this year where he's looked really good, but the last two games he's looked fantastic.
And I'll give him this. He doesn't have a lot to work with. I mean – or
I know the feeling.
Sounds like a personal problem. But, that he's got a young receiving core, and, you know, it's a young team, but they've been growing together. So you're right. Now they're in a good spot. But I agree with you. The Sunday night game, the Monday night game were definitely entertaining. But the big news of the day out of here is Mike Vrabel did something that I think he needed to do. But, when he's done things that he's needed to do, I didn't think he would do it. But that is he fired special teams coordinator Craig Aukerman.
Well, the great phrase, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Your ship is going down, so you fire a coach and all that. And that 4-8, you got to blame him for that. And, you know, you'll blame a few other people, and then you'll make changes. And then, you know, coaches see that, and they're like, you know what, I don't want to be part of this. And I know Aukerman, people have been screaming, have been fired for a couple of years, whatever. But here's my problem with it, Chaser. Celebrating somebody get fired, I got a problem with that.
Yeah, no, I do too. Look, that's the I tell people all the time that want to get into this business that, you know, I was taught early on by you, by Darren, by Willie, by anybody that I worked with, give an opinion, you know, stick by your opinion, be strong in your opinion, just don't make it personal.
Yeah.
And just under, you know, that. Because I struggled with if I'm saying that this coach, like, I don't think he does a good job and he shouldn't have that job anymore, like, I feel bad about that. It's like, you're not making it personal. It's a business thing,
right?
You know?
But you're exactly right. So, I mean, look, a change needed to be made, but they're like, okay, yeah, hey, they made the change.
Yeah,
it was the right move.
Right,
I mean,
no.
It's like when a college, like, for example, MTSU, Rick Stockstill gets let go, all right? There's 9 other coaches on that staff now that got affected. But you know that going in, and I get all that. They make good money, and you argue. I understand all that. But for the kids and everybody else, and it's tough, you know? And so you got to uproot your family, move someplace else. And I know, but he's making $400,000 a year. I understand all that. I do. But just don't celebrate somebody getting canned. I just – say, look, it was time to move on and wish you the – I mean, I think Vrabel handed it fine. It's like, you know, he did some good work here, and we wish him the best in his future endeavors.
Ben on our text line, you can weigh in, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, says, quote, now we don't have to do anything in the offseason except draft one lineman to play backup center, end quote, Vrabel subconscious.
All right. That's it. Not bad.
I hope that's not the case by any means. But this was Mike Vrabel on the decision. And when he was asked about, you know, this is the first time that he's fired a coach midseason, which I thought was interesting.
Decision, was that like something over time?
Or
was that
yeah, time? Just, you know, Teron, just again, just trying to evaluate, you know, what we do, who we do it with. You know, I just felt like, you know, this was the timing, what was what it needed to be, and I felt like it was best for the team and for the players, especially going forward.
I mean, I don't recall you making an in-season move before.
No, Corey. No, that had, you know, again, everything is. You know, there's no real precedent to anything. It's, you know, you try to get a feel for, you know, what's best and what's needed. And whether we've done something in the past, there's, you know, times in, you know, we haven't run a certain coverage or we hadn't run certain plays. And I think those decisions are about timing and feel. So that's, you know, that's the decision that was made. And, you know, again, we're going to get back to work here. Moving forward and trying to get as healthy as possible and go down and win a game against a very good opponent on a road and a big stage.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday on the firing of special teams coordinator Craig Aukerman.
To see something he did or hear something, he's now calling people by name.
Yeah, well, so I was just about to say that. Like, when I've noticed that when he – back against the wall, like he can feel it closing in on him. He tries to be personable.
Yeah.
Now right. he's used names a lot, especially like, you know, guys like Joe and Teron and like he's Jared, like that, sure, that are there a lot, Paul. So, but I found that interesting too.
I'd go over there. He'd be like, I'd say, hey, Mike. And he'd be like, well, Brad Schmidt, you have to figure out this and that. And you'd go over there and be like, oh, Matthias Ekholm. I think you look, I still think with your beard, when it's grown out, it looks like Matthias Ekholm.
I mean,
you're a better skater than he is. So
I don't know about that.
You are.
If I was, I might be playing hockey right now.
Oh, plus, speaking of hockey, he was coming up at 9:30.
Hal Gill.
They're in Chicago.
So okay. He's going to join us, and Predators look to put back-to-back wins together tonight. But you were a long snapper, right?
Yeah.
So you played special teams.
Right.
What do you need out of the special teams coach? Like, what does the coach do?
I'd stay out of the way. I'm not kidding you. I mean, you could go and talk to Brett yesterday about the different coverages for lining up. My special teams coach at Sanford was Jeff Bowden, right? So he didn't want that job. So he was
how
like,
how many damn Bowdens are there?
There's like 13, and this yeah, there's a lot of them. So Jeff
you
was
the
my,
bad one.
Jeff was my special teams coach at Florida State. Fans hate Jeff Bowden. That's a whole other show right there. I'll never forget. He came into a special teams meeting and Terry had said, I got the job based on my merits and how I've done this, da 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 da. And then we had a special teams meeting, and I promise you, Chase, I've got it somewhere. I got to find it. Jeff Bowden came in and put on our desk our special team playbook. It had Florida State scratched out and put Sanford on top. And we just laughed about that because he just gave us a speech how he earned this job. Anyway, we would line up and say, all right, so-and-so, when it, you know, is gonna, back then you could line up over the long snapper. So when you snap, they would put your head straight in the ground. You can't do that anymore, thanks to Jeff Fisher, because he's the rules committee, said you can't do that anymore. But you would line up, all right, they're going to overload this side. You see it on film. So he'd help you call stuff like that. But as far as actual punting and kicking, just stay out of the way, man. That was it. Basically, it's pretty simple. But that was a Division I AA high college football team. I don't know right. What the pros do.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, and look, I think we all could watch the product and know that, you know, a change had to be made. Like, it wasn't just the game on Sunday. It was, you know, there were a lot of things kind of leading up to it. I mean, I know the return part of the game has changed a lot. You don't really see returns much anymore, but like there was hardly any return game with this team, and there hasn't been in a very long time. That's on the special teams coach. You got to find that. You got, I mean,
yeah, I,
you know, you got to find a guy,
a returner, man.
Yeah, you got to find a guy that, and coach that guy up that, you know, is not going to just get the ball to the 20 or the 25.
Well, time. I think that's it's bored. I mean, what do you think Devin Hester's special teams coach at the Bears told him? Catch the ball and go up the field.
Yeah.
Run the field. So you got to have somebody back there who is a warrior, who doesn't mind getting his head taken off, who challenges things. But now the punting game in the NFL has gotten so good, and the hang time is so well, and the gunners are down the field so fast, it's almost impossible to get a good punt return back. It's almost impossible to do that.
I think we got spoiled here, though, like in, you know, with the Titans, because Alan Lowry was so good.
Yeah, but it was a different time.
It was.
I mean, you're going back 20 years now for that. But these now, I mean, it's like in punting. And we'll talk to – we have Walt Wells, Eastern Kentucky head coach, coming on at 10, who's going to talk to us about the portal and figure things out. But now, you know, when I played, you had one personal protector for the punt. You had nine guys on the line of scrimmage. You had a personal protector. You had the punter. Now you've got three guys back there. So you're giving the defense a running start to go after the, you know, the punter and get that momentum. It's weird how the punting has evolved in football. It's just, I never thought you're just trying to punt the ball off, and that's it. A clean punt, get it down the field, good coverage, and that's it. And, boy, that's really a challenge today.
Yeah, it is. So, Craig Aukerman out. We'll see Tom Quinn in, and we'll see what they look like special teams-wise moving forward.
So, can I do this question?
Yes.
All right. So, we had some people yesterday talk about how
people love our questions.
Yeah, it's weird, but thank you. About Brett Kern was talking about holding, right, in football, and somebody said, "Well, that shouldn't be that bad of a job because Tannehill did it." I'm telling you right now, that might be one of the most stressful positions in all sports is a holder. Can you imagine holding on a 50-yard field goal at a game winner? It's so. My question today is for all our great listeners: if you had one thing you could do to win $100,000, all right, follow me. You got three things. Could you make a 25-foot putt? Could you make a three-pointer? Or could you bowl a strike? You get one chance.
You're not going to do a 25-yard field goal?
That's the last one, 25-yard field goal.
So you have to do all of these?
No, you could do one. If I came to you right now and said, Chase, I give you $100,000, you do one of those four, what would you do? What could you do in the next hour to win $100,000?
I get one shot at it?
One shot. Putt? Three-point shot, field goal, or bowl a strike?
Probably bowl a strike.
That's too easy, isn't it? Let's get that one out of there. Bowl a strike's too easy.
Yeah. For some people, yeah.
Let's get it out.
I mean, because you hit – like, there's a certain spot you hit, and they'll all fall down.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's take it out there. So you get putt, three-point shot, 25-yard field goal. 100,000, we go in the next hour, and I say, all right, Chase, what could you do? What could you do?
Okay, I'll add another one in there. A half rink shot hockey.
Okay.
You know, like from the red line.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, you see that a lot. Like, you just hit it on net.
All right. $100,000.
Yeah.
All right. But confidently, what could you do? What could you do confidently? Dr. Crane, man, weigh in on this.
That's a really good question.
Confidently, what could you do?
Oh, field goal with the shadow of a doubt, yeah.
You could kick a 25-yard field goal.
Easily in my sleep.
Were you a kicker?
Yes, back in the day. Okay, middle school. Yeah.
Well, now it's a 30-yard field goal.
Okay, I can still do that.
All right, we'll back you up to 30. I'm just curious because people are like, I could be a holder.
Well,
no, you couldn't.
Okay, so with hockey, I'm debating on should we do it from the red line or from do the goalie shot. Do it
goalie shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've done that before. Like, I've hit that.
All the way down. Okay.
We did a thing on 615 day at Ford Ice Center, and I lined up in the goalie crease.
Okay.
Fired it down the ice and put it in. Now, there was no goal. You know, it was just an empty net.
Sure.
Is all it was.
Okay.
But it was the Pekka-Rinne shot. It was right after Pekka scored the goal.
You get no practice.
Nope.
You got to walk out in the next hour and do this.
Yeah, I think that's the one I would do.
Okay.
Because a three-pointer, if you've seen me shoot a basketball, you know that's probably not
going
to happen.
I'm going three-pointer from the corner. I look,
you can see it in your...
I toasted dudes at the Donaldson Y on my three-pointer from the corner. I mean, I smoked them. And so I'm a three-point... Because, you know, when I played basketball, my nickname was the launching pad. Once I crossed half court, I'm shooting. So that's all I do, man. I'm putting up shots. So that's what I'm doing. So that's the question today. In the next hour, if you get $100,000, what could you do confidently with no problem?
All right, six. Go ahead.
If you miss, you got to pay $500.
Oh, okay.
To a charity.
615-737-1025. You can weigh in on that. We'll have Hal Gill at the bottom of the hour. Chasing Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. It's called hitting the post, Dr. Crane. This is what you need to do. It's good. Dr. Crane on the ones and twos. Our question of the day, JoJo, is?
After some of y'all said you could be a holder in the NFL, it's no big deal. Our question today is, what could you do confidently? Confidently for $100,000, but if you don't get it, you got to pay $500. Could you hit a 30-yard field goal? Could you make a 30-foot putt? Could you hit a three-pointer? Or could you shoot a puck from one end of the rink to the other end, into the net? What could you do? The votes that I'm coming in for me, for my friends, are because they're sissies, are saying they could shoot a puck from one end to the other.
Okay. Let's go to the text line. Ben says, I'm kicking the field goal. Phil in Kentucky, do I get any practice runs?
Nope.
No. Nope. Got to do it cold. Clinton Clarksville, three-pointer. 0259. Apparently, it's hard to throw a strike when doing the first pitch in a baseball game.
That's well, very true.
That's true. Adam in Clarksville, punt. I punt to my son. I usually get it 25 to 30 yards. So are we counting punts?
No.
It's going to be a field goal.
No. But, you know, we could add this. I tell you right now, there's no way you could catch a punt from Brett Kern. One chance. There's no way. You ever tried catching a punt?
Yeah, that would – yeah, oh, yeah.
Almost impossible.
I used to do it when I was the manager at FRA. Like, we do special punt team, and I would go stand back and shag punts.
I'm telling you right now, it's not easy to do that. It's almost really – I mean, that's why those guys in NFL and college are so good doing that.
Did I tell you the story of how I almost became the punter?
No.
So they were practicing, and, like, there were portions where it's like I'd literally stand there and watch and do nothing. And so I'd go down to the other end of the field, and I was trying to punt. I was just seeing what I could do. Well, I got into a little bit of a rhythm, and I, like, got a hold of one that I literally, like, it went into the middle of practice, and I was like, oh, crap.
Oh, nice.
And so coach calls me and goes, get down here. And I was like, sorry, coach, just down there messing around. He goes, line up, do it again. And so they lined me up, and I got a hold of it, and he goes, if you do this three more times, you're punting Friday night. And then I just
You should have done it. Oh, come on, him. Chase, you had your chance right there, man.
I shanked him, but it's okay.
All right, well, that's it. More votes coming in. Everybody wants to think they can shoot a puck from one end to the other.
Adam in Portland, I'd rain that three like Allen Houston.
Yeah.
Money for the grandkids and the bank, baby. I prefer mine from the corner as well, ideally with a bullet chest pass.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Just get square up.
See,
and pop
now, okay,
it in.
Yeah, that would be my question on the three-pointer. Can you let somebody pass it?
Sure.
Because I feel like, I mean, look, I can't shoot, but I feel like I've been better if I don't think about it.
Okay.
Like if you stand up there and you line up to shoot it, like, you're probably going to miss it. But if you just – take the pass and boom.
Yeah, you could do that. And the thing about the hockey thing is, because hockey players make it look so easy on the ice, but you got to go out there on skates. You just can't walk out there. You got to put on skates. You get no warm-ups.
Oh, you didn't say that. You keep adding to the rules.
No, you got to be like that. Go out there and do that.
No, like, they don't do that. Like, they'll do contests all the time where you shoot it from the other end, but you're wearing shoes. You didn't say anything about skates.
If you want to dumb it down that way, you can. That's fine.
You didn't say anything about skates.
All right, you could do that. Now, what are you doing the puck? Is that what you're doing?
If I don't have to wear skates.
All right. Okay, no
skates. If I'm on skates, I'm on my ass.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm not a fan of language.
Well.
Secondly.
It's a donkey.
It's okay. So Dr. Crane's doing the field goal, 30-yard field goal. Confidently, right? You think, Dr. Crane, you can do this confidently?
In my sleep.
Okay. Well, you know what? One day we're going to go out and we're going to try this.
I want to see. Well, you remember we did that out here one time.
Yeah, and remember the only person who made the field goal was Willie Donick. And we all laughed. And Darren McFarland, like, hit a plane. It went to the right and took off into space.
Were you snapping?
I was snapping. When we did legit, like, you can't, like, take 15 feet back and walk. I mean, it was like snap, place, kick on that.
Hopkins didn't make it?
Nope. Willie's the only one.
Wow.
I think really kicked it left-footed, too. You know, left-handed people are weird. Yeah. Anyway. So he kicked it left-footed and made it.
What stipulations there for me? Do I have to wear cleats? No cleats? What's the deal here?
No, you can go Tony Franklin. You can go barefoot, the former kicker for the
Texas we're going to do, as a show, can we go to McGavick or something and do this?
Yeah. But when you go to McGavick, hollowed ground. So none of your shenanigans and
I've been there before.
All right. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Same goes for you, Dr. Crane.
No, I know.
Hollowed grounds. You got 5 minutes to listen to my football stories, and then you can...
Can we get a picture with the statue?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Yeah, right. And I'll be next to the statue. Yeah, we can do that.
Robbie Stanley has weighed in. Give me the 25-foot putt like Tiger in his prime.
There's no way. I'd like to see that. We need to do this one day.
I hit a 60-yard chip shot one time, just fluky, and then hit a... if Sean Fort's listening, last year at our golf tournament, we were with the Predators group, and they're like, Chase, take the putt, and it was like a 30, 35-foot putt, and I sunk it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
We got witnesses of this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Robbie, one day after the show, we're going to go straight to a putting range. You get no warm-up. See if you can stick a 25-footer. If you do, you get 100,000 kisses.
Again, here's my
– not money.
It's a married man right there. Here's my question on that.
Okay.
Like, where's the ball placed? Like, are we talking about a, like, straight on, flat?
Yeah. We'll go to a putting green.
Okay. So it's just straight on and flat. There's no, you don't have to read the green or anything like that.
We should do that next spring. Have a putting contest with our listeners and our staff. And
I like this.
And see what we could do. And then you go, you know, you go like 64 to 32 to 16 to 8, you know? And you kind of, you know, whittle it down there and see who gets it in there.
Okay. Evan says bowling is easy. Y'all should leave bowling in there because people that don't bowl all the time struggle with a strike. I mean, Evan's right.
No, you're right, Evan, but I bowled a strike last week at Plaster's thing, and I'm an awful bowler.
Ben, you can mess up and still get a strike, too. Yeah, that's true. Gina Spring Hill, score a goal. I played hockey for 30 years.
Okay, that's a fine. That's fine. The experience does it not matter in this?
Dustin, that's not nice. Dustin in Hopkinsville.
What do you say?
It's about Corey Perry.
Oh,
that's not nice.
Well, I gotta go read it.
Dylan, for $100,000, I can confidently shout Kobe from across the room while I shoot the most perfect arc shot you've ever seen in a paper ball make. And swish from at least 30 feet away.
Okay. Well, we'll take your word for that. But, I mean, confidently, you think you could do.
And if Rebecca says yes to skates on the hockey shot.
Okay. Well, that's fine. If you want to do that.
Tyler, a three-pointer is by far the easiest choice. The percentages of a three-pointer versus a 30-foot putt are not even close to the same.
Here's a great
one. We did not ask for analytics, Tyler.
Right. Here's a great one. 3045. Joe, what about hitting a girl's fast pitch from 45 feet? Bet your back still hurts from doing that. Yeah, I couldn't hit one. There's no way the three of us could hit a girl's fast pitch softball. There's no way.
No.
I'll take the L on that right now.
I went to a batting cage one time, and I was on a date, and I'm thinking, oh, this is a good date spot. And, like, it was.
Did she leave afterwards? I had to go to the bathroom.
she never
came back.
Never saw her again.
I did with the Riverdale girls softball team one time. I did with the Trevecca women's softball team. And I think I got, like, 30 pitches. I foul-tipped one.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's 45 feet, so it's 15 feet closer than baseball.
We did the batting practice at the Sounds that day, and, I mean, they're, you know.
No, I'm telling you, man, I could hit the batting practice for baseball. Okay, you're not hitting girls softball.
The softball. Okay.
You're not. We'll do that in the spring, too, as well. We'll go out and have an adventure.
We're having a big day.
Yeah, we'll go putting. We'll get with the Trevecca softball team and go down there and see what we could do.
Yeah, I will say this. Like, when in high school I was with the girls softball team in a tournament, and they were like, can you catch while the pitcher warms up? I'm like, sure. I couldn't feel my hand for a week.
Right.
No. Like, I lost feeling in my hand.
Chris, sorry about that, but he says, Robbie, it's now 30 feet. They keep changing the rules. What's our rule?
Yeah, I know. You do keep changing the rules.
It's 30 feet now.
Phil in Kentucky, I'm from Louisville. Give me the three-pointer all day. Easy money.
Confidently, though, Phil, if you miss, you owe us $500.
Yep. To charity.
To charity, yeah, not to us.
Very good. We'll ask now. Hal can't do hockey, obviously, but we'll ask him what.
Why can't he?
Well, I don't know. He didn't score any goals as a Predator, so maybe.
Tell him that.
I have. Don't worry. Hal Gill will join us next. We'll talk about the Preds in the NHL here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin on this Tuesday. Keep weighing in on our question of the day. We basically have given you for $100,000. We're not actually paying that.
But, right.
But if you – let's specify that for a second. Before I get angry calls and emails, you can choose from, okay, is it 30 or 25?
Let's go. All right, we'll go back to 25-foot right. putt because Robbie's, like, complaining about
25-foot putt, 25-yard field goal.
Three-pointer,
or a shot from one end of the rink to the other, into the net.
Into the net.
And that's it.
You get 5 minutes to show up. Get ready.
But no practice.
No practice. Now, you can practice all day
tomorrow, whatever. But not in that moment.
Not in that moment.
Yeah. Let's go to Hal Gill. He is in Chicago with the Nashville Predators. Hal, which one would you take?
It's a tough one. You'd think I'd have to lean towards the hockey shot, naturally, but that's a tough one. I'd probably get the yips on the 25-foot putt. No one needs that. So I'm staying away from that, but I think I got to go hockey.
Chase, okay. Will you tell Mr. Gill what you added about
– I mean, you weren't much of a goal scorer, so, I mean, I could understand.
No.
You know.
I understand that, you know.
That's okay. You kept them out of the net. That was your job.
What did you I want to know what you chose, Chase.
I chose the hockey shot because I did it one – now, I wasn't wearing skates, but it was right after Pekka scored his goal, and so we did it at Ford Ice Center, and I hit one.
Yeah. All right. See?
It's not easy, but it's like if you line it up and you get enough behind that. I think the hard part is getting enough behind it because you overestimate that. You're like, oh, it's just going to slide down the ice. So you overestimate it.
But, yeah, it's a tough one.
So fun game, tough game the other night against Buffalo, but the Predators get the win 2-1 in that one to start the 2-game road trip. But a nice bounce back after a couple of losses. What'd you see?
Yeah, exactly. I think the Rangers game was a good performance against a tough team, and they lost it. You tip your hat to the Rangers. They went into Buffalo and continued that, which is important for a young team, for a bunch of guys to follow it up. The veterans got the ship straight, and it took a game against New York to get back. And there's that blip against Mini, which was awful. But this team looks good. I mean, they played a hard game. Offensive zone time was awesome in the Buffalo game. They were snapping it around, making plays, playing fast. I thought they defended well at times. They looked like they were going to fall down a little bit, but they picked themselves back up and played a pretty good, solid game throughout.
A guy that I love the goal call – from Pete the other night, but Yakov Trenin has, ever since Andrew Brunette set him out for a game, I feel like it just, he hit the reset button, and I really like how he has played.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's playing, I feel like he's playing with an extra gear, he's moving his feet, and he's attacking, and there's not as much guessing in his game. I think for a while he was, if you look at the first 5 to 10 games, I thought he played well. He had a ton of chances, and he just wasn't scoring. And I think when he wasn't scoring, he kind of got in the panic mode and then started to overthink things. That you're right, that reset from Bruno kind of put him back on course, and now he's playing. And when he plays fearless and just goes, he's a big body, and he's moving fast, and it is fun to watch.
Hal, after losing to the Rangers on Saturday, then hopping a plane, getting back on the rink at 5:00 Nashville time the next day in Buffalo, was that beneficial for the hockey team instead of sitting 2 days, 3 days, mulling about losing that game?
Yeah,
you just got to get back on the ice and go.
Yeah, yeah. I always say, there's nothing better than a back to back when you lost. Well, first of all, you don't want to have that practice. The coach is mad at you. It makes you. bags gate you for an hour and a half. So you miss out on that, but you also, you want to get a good feeling, and it's hard to have a good feeling after a loss. I mean, these guys take it serious. They, you know, it's not just walking out of the rink where they're sad that they lost. They bring it home, and it affects your whole life. So if you can turn that losing switch off and turn it around and get a win as quick as possible, that helps.
Also, you know, tonight taking the Blackhawks, if you look at their record, you know, they've only won 7 games and all that, but it's still a conference opponent, and to push them back and punish them and make them lose tonight is always big, not only because it's Chicago, but it's because it's in a conference game, and put those bad teams away early.
Oh, yeah. I think throughout the season, how many times have we said, you know, the Preds played a good game, but that was a good team. You know, they played Boston, they played Tampa early on. Preds played great, but they lost to a better team. Well, now you got to play great and win against a lesser team. I mean, that's the bottom line. And you know, there's a lot going on in Chicago and a lot of excitement with Bedard, but they're just not there yet. I was kind of disappointed. I thought they'd give a little bit more of a push, but they're just not that team. And so the Preds have to make them pay, just like you said.
We're talking to Hal Gill, and you can hear him on the radio tonight with Pete Weber as the Predators take on the Chicago Blackhawks. And look, you've been around this. Tyson Barry has been scratched the last few games. There's been some reports on what could happen with him, but you know, with a team that, you know, Barry Trotz is trying to, you know, find his players and reset and get back to the playoffs. How tough is that? Because I've really liked Tyson and how he's fit in since he was acquired last year.
Yeah, great guy. Everyone loves him in the locker room. He's the vocal leader, if you will. He's chirping and having fun and keeps it loose. I do think, you know, you look at what he brings to he's going to bring an offensive aspect to the back end. And I feel like, you know, the way the team has gone, they're looking for more defense, and it's tough. You sometimes, as an older player, when you're a scratch, and I've gone through it, it's tough to take, and you start to say, you know, look around, where can I fit in? What team do I fit in? And so those were those rumors come from, but I think the Preds, you know, really need this guy. I think they want to keep him engaged and, you know, keep him off the ice for a couple of games, let him watch, and then hope that when he comes back in, he's playing better hockey, better defensively, and they're going to need everyone. We've seen the injuries. I think you're going to need guys, so you want to keep him around and keep him happy.
Hal, Philip Forsberg, we know he's a great player, but at an elite level, he's playing so far in these first 24 games. What's he doing that's working so well for him right now?
Yeah, he's skating too. He's another guy that I think has thrived under not just Bruno's system, but playing with O'Reilly. I think O'Reilly puts the puck in spots where Phil can use his speed, and then when he's using his speed, he's attacking the middle. I mean, how many times have you seen Phil score in and around the net? He's getting to the crease. He's getting to the hard areas, and then he's got an awesome shot. So it's really hard to defend. We're starting to see the Phil that you know, you see him practice day in and day out. He's starting to bring that passion and that drive into the games, and he's getting rewarded for it. So good for him.
You know, a player I like that a lot of people don't talk about, but he's been here forever, and he just does a solid job. And I think he's underrated when you talk about Predator players throughout. But Colton Sissons is just a constant, steady guy for this hockey team that's been here. I mean, we've seen guys come and go, but he's still here. Tell me, Hal, what you like about Colton and what he does so well to help this hockey team.
Yeah, to be honest with you, everything. He does everything well. He's good on draws to start off, and then the whole way through the game, you can have him kill penalties. He's been on the power play and working the net front. He showed a little bit of a scoring touch this year. He's got good hands in and around the net, and when he's confident, he's really good. But yeah, he does. It's so hard to have. Everyone talks about depth. You want to have your top six, but you need reliable players that can go anywhere in the lineup, and you can count on him defensively. And Colton Sissons does that. I think it's when in doubt, just throw Colton Sissons out, and he's going to get it done for you wherever you need him. Someone's hurt on the right wing, first line, boom, put him up there. He'll play. He'll get it done. And then he can go heavy on the forecheck if you need him. So kind of does everything. I think he's a coach's dream.
Well, Skillsy, going to be a fun one tonight in Chicago. It doesn't matter, you know, where these teams are in their development. Whenever they get together, it's always entertaining. So enjoy it at the United Center, and we'll be listening.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm excited for just get the anthem. Let's get the anthem going. That's all great. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate it.
You got it, pal.
Hal Gill, presented by Dunkin', every Tuesday at 9:30 here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, and always appreciate him for joining. And Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6. See your Predators star players up close and personal. You can get autographs and pictures. And this week's special guest will be Cody Glass and the aforementioned Colton Sissons. Smashville Live is presented by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. Coming up next, I'm done. And I've had a good one for a few days. I'm ready.
Yeah, we want to know what you are done with. I've got one, too, that affects me every single day, and it's extremely frustrating, and I'm done with it.
And on the line for the best one, 615-737-1025, a pair of tickets to the Transperfect Music City Bowl on Saturday, December 30th at Nissan Stadium. You can see Auburn and Maryland take each other on in the Transperfect Music City Bowl, but you must participate in I'm Done, 615-737-1025. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. I'm done. What are you done with? 615-737-1025. On the line, a pair of tickets to the Transperfect Music City Bowl on Saturday, December 30th at Nissan Stadium. All right, you want to start? You want me to start?
I will. So the other day, well, it's about a week ago, I saw a guy going to traffic. He had an emergency spare on his tire, okay? I'm like, oh, poor guy. I hope he's going to get that taken care of. I've seen this car now four other times.
Still running with the donut?
Still running with the donut, all right? And like, I, you know, and I'm not like, you know, maybe he's got some financial problems, but it's a nice, it's an SUV. It's a nice car. Why not get that fixed? So I'm done with my caring for this guy about, at first I was like, man, I hope he gets to the, you know, if he breaks down, I can help him get to the service station. I've now seen him for the first time and the next five times. And that donut is still, I'm done with caring about this guy. And I don't want to be this way, but you're making me be this way. And I don't want to be this way.
That's a random thing to get worked up about.
It is.
But
I just don't understand it.
Well, because you can't, like, the thing is, people don't understand that you can't, like, you don't drive on those.
No, you don't.
They're supposed to be to basically get you to get the tire fixed.
Right. And you don't go over 40, and I've seen him go faster than 45 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned for his safety, other people's safety, people in the car with him, their safety. Go get your emergency spare fixed. Just go get it. I mean, take the emergency spare, get your tire fixed. So, I don't want to be this way, but I'm done caring about him.
Okay, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Here's mine. This happened the other day at the Titans game, and I see it way too much.
All right.
I'm done with, you know, like, if you're out in the concourse and you're in the concession stand or whatever, I'm done with people not stopping when the national anthem starts.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, I saw quite a few people that stopped. Like, you hear it. And, you know, sometimes it takes a second. Like, oh, we're in the anthem. Just stop. Like, you can wait a second. And I love when I see the concession workers, they stop.
Yep.
And it's like, you just respect for the anthem and all of that. You know, I stood there, hand over my heart, all of that. And then, you know, hat off. That's another thing. Take your hat off.
That too.
Just show you some respect. And but then there were people that were just walking along and talking and, you know, like even to the point where it's like, why are all these people stopped? I don't understand. It's
now,
like,
did you say something to them? I have before.
I have. Yeah, no, okay. I did. I was like, hey, anthem. And they're like, oh, okay, thank you. And then some people just keep going. But, you know, it's like, I get it. If you're out there and you're not within a true earshot and you can't hear it, yeah. Like – but if you see everybody stopped, you should know what it's for.
Correct.
So let's just show a little respect. It takes a minute and a half. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
You can get your beer and your popcorn.
Yeah, like I can see that.
But so I'm done with people not stopping for the anthem.
But let me ask you this on the anthem part. Are you done with them adding too much to the anthem? Because we've seen this where they...
If you go over... yes.
If you go over 2 minutes and 11 seconds...
If you're over 2:11, I don't know.
There's only one person that I said, it's okay, you could do the anthem. And that's when Aretha Franklin did it on the Thanksgiving Day. And she went like 12 minutes, and it was beautiful. That she gets Aretha Franklin, God rest her soul, gets a pass, but nobody else does. So stop and honor the anthem, and mine is get your damn emergency spare, get your tire fixed.
1423 says, Joe, is it a white SUV with the donut on the front driver's side?
It is not. It's okay. On the back left.
Is that you, 1423?
Get it fixed! I want to care about you. You're making it difficult for me to.
9302. I'm done with all the county workers driving around with lights on top of their trucks flashing, because when we're trying to move dozers and track hoes with our flashing lights, the people don't move over on the side of the road because they think we're just county workers running around.
Gosh, that's okay. A deep one. What county is that? Let us know what county that's in so we can avoid it.
Oh, this... 1936. I'm done with the people blocking the middle of the aisle at Walmart having a conversation with their second cousin or et cetera. Okay.
You go around
that
them?
Drives me nuts when there's an aisleway and either it's a couple that just takes up the whole aisle and they're just do. Oh, look at all that. And hold hands. And it's like, you know, it's like the interstate. Like,
sure. Just right ram
lane,
them.
Right lane, slow lane, left lane, passing lane.
Like, will you read 3584? Because it makes me laugh. I'd like for you to read this.
I'm done with hearing Stillman tell Mike Vrabel about the NFL. This is the NFL, says Stillman, as if he's ever done anything that approaches Vrabel's resume. If memory serves, Floyd spent the majority of the show laughing at Jared's viewpoints. Yep, done with Stillman.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. To know what he's. I love that. I always love that. Can't stand
my favorite.
Him.
I'm never going to listen. And then names everything that they've ever done. That's the best. So appreciate that.
Oh, man.
615-737-1025. Let's get to some more. Adam wants to call in. So, Adam, what's up?
Hi. Nice to talk to you guys. I'm a truck driver. I'm done with all the public. They just want to cut over in front of us and think that we can stop on a dime, and then they don't want to go nowhere. No respect for us truckers at all.
Okay.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that too. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Just, I don't know why people pull in front of it. I mean, because they can't stop on a dime. It's just, yeah.
Look, I've kind of realized this, you know, that, like, it's a, And I have family members that are truck drivers. Like, it's kind of a thankless job, you know. I mean, it's a necessary job.
Heck yeah, it is.
You know, but it's like, you know, you get on the interstate and we'll bitch about, you know, truck drivers and, you know, cutting us, you know, like not being able to get on the interstate or whatever. Yeah. And it's like,
just let them over.
Yeah, it's a thankless job.
It
like,
is.
I get it.
Just let them over. Do you ever do the, when you pass a trucker, do the hand, hand with the, no. with the hand? I do it all the time, man.
When I was 12, I did.
Yeah, when I was 12.
Okay, thanks.
I'm just saying.
I do it all the time.
Chase does make a good point about truck drivers, and there's like an etiquette that I've been taught through my dad because he's on the road a lot. Not a truck driver, but he drives a lot. Anyways, there's a point where truck drivers, they're like kind of not tailgating the other one, but they're off. Like, there's one truck driver on the right lane, one on the left lane. There are people that are trying to, you know, move around, yada, yada, yada. If they're going down a mountain that
Mount Eagle?
Like, yeah, that exactly. Yeah. And they're going over the speed limit by 10, 15 miles an hour. It's etiquette for a truck driver to be in the left lane and sit on the backside of their bumper so nobody gets hurt. I mean, that's, they're serving, you know, looking out for other people. Right? They're doing a great job.
You need to play Convoy coming out of the next break.
Oh, that's a good one.
A little Convoy.
Play the Homer Simpson
can
one.
You read Chris's one?
Okay, I knew you were going to make me do that.
Well, I don't get it either. But read it.
I'm done with that drives me nuts phrase. No one has a steering wheel on their belt buckle. Am I too literal?
I don't. Yes. I am so dumb, Chris. I don't understand that at all. But you guys are just killing on this thing today. Just rolling in.
Dave, I'm done with the comment section on Twitter. The cesspool of opinions on the college football playoff selection has set back humanity 15 years. Isn't that all Twitter is?
That's all it is. 6724, I'm done with Danny Cannell complaining about FSU but brags about his ring in the same scenario. Let me tell you about Danny Cannell. He did nothing on that 93 FSU championship team. That was Charlie Ward, but he got the ring. He's part of the team. That's fine. But I think we're all in universal opinion that we can't stand Danny Cannell.
Well, he likes you.
Hey, big fan. We talk often.
I'm glad.
We had a connection to Nashville one time that sadly passed away.
You know what? Let's hook Adam up. Because God bless the truck
driver. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, little convoy.
Let's hook him up with the Music City Bowl tickets. Yep. But appreciate that. Who's coming up next?
All right, so the portal opened yesterday, and there's a little under 100,000 guys under the portal. It's chaos, it's insanity, and we don't know how to make sense of it. So we called a friend of the show, my best friend, the head coach at Eastern Kentucky, Walt Wells, who kind of navigate us and get us through what's happening, the portal and things that are going on, because it really is confusing. We'll talk to Coach Wells next.
We will do that and join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Monday from 4 to 6. For the NFL pregame, they'll break down the Titans' Week 14 matchup against the Dolphins and give you the latest updates before the game. NFL pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.